Super Gaming Best Friends. Super Gaming Best Friends. Monkey throwing barrels. Hunting ducks with dogs of scenarios, and we'll play with you.
It's Tuesday, April 9th, 2013, and I'm Ethan Moses, and this is Super Gaming Best Friends, the podcast about friends and games and talking about them. As you could probably tell by now, Josh Lee is not here. I'm doing a pretty bad impression of him at this point. But, hey, who cares, man? We're friends, and friends can just take up for each other when they need to, you know? Joining me tonight, we have Justin Gifford. Long time no see, my friend.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
I'm broadcasting from the Gifford Man Cave.
Looks like a basement.
It is. It is. It is a basement.
I wish I was in a basement right now. We were actually talking about this before the show. I love the cool clamminess of a basement, and you said that you're at, what, 60 degrees right now underneath?
Yeah, give or take.
Underneath.
Warm enough for shorts, but significantly cooler than it is upstairs.
That's good. That's good. And as usual, the editor-in-chief of HorribleNight.com, Mr. Justin Lacey, how are you doing, sir?
I'm evaluating your every move, sir.
Are you? See, I can tell with your eyes. You got these evaluation eyes. You know, not the best intro, but I think I have a smooth delivery from here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and ask you about a sandwich, because I saw you eating one.
Ooh, I had a good
segue.
I have a soft spot for meatball subs.
A sandwich story, I think.
Yeah, so we were rushing to get ready here tonight, and I was like, so in that situation, do you eat first or do you prepare first? So I chose to try to get everything prepared for the podcast first, and then just ran out to get a sandwich real quick. There's a Subway literally two blocks from my house. Going to Subway, and I'm like, I want to be in and out of here in 10 minutes. And I look in there, and there's only three people in line. I'm like, three people, no problem. 16 sandwiches later, we started about 10 minutes late. Because apparently I was behind like a basketball team or something. Because the people were not representing their sandwiches very well. I was disappointed. It's frustrating.
I kind of would want to see what the sandwiches look like. Because I'm always really curious about, you know, the sandwich in front of me. I know what I'm getting, but I wonder what other people are getting. And I imagine those sandwiches, and I also said this before the show, had a lot of mayonnaise on them.
That sounds disturbing.
It's because mayonnaise is up there with, like, bacon in terms of awesomeness.
Ooh.
I disagree strongly.
You know, the thing about mayonnaise, unlike bacon, you can have as much bacon as possible. Mayonnaise, too much mayonnaise is gross, and it looks gross when you bite into it. I had a fellow that went to a local Subway when I was in Lafayette who always loved to cake on that mayo, and that mayo just found its way right out of his mouth onto his shirt front.
Yeah. It's hard to explain.
I think
mayo.
I think that's your problem. It's going to Subway.
Well, yeah.
Jimmy John's. Yeah.
Better sandwich place. Oh, Jimmy John's. Yeah, perfect. The Italian bread, the mayonnaise, they come together. It's like a marriage.
And they deliver
heaven. Subway heaven. I guess. Anyway. So, hey, wow.
Mm-hmm. Sandwiches.
Guys, it's been a while. I know I took off the show last week.
Yeah.
I was on vacay. So let's catch up. Let's talk. Let's chit-chat. Gifford, I really want to know what's going on inside your head, man. It's been a while.
Oh, God only knows what's going on inside my head.
Okay, well, then tell me some stuff that you're doing then.
Giant headphones are on his head.
They are. And I don't know. You probably can't see it, but they're pink. I did not realize that when I ordered them.
Can pull that off.
Yeah. Ethan's got his purple.
I was gonna say Ethan's got his purple. You've got your pink. Mm-hmm. I'm just working on facial hair.
Yeah.
Is that a color? I don't think it's a color.
Yeah. No, facial hair, that's not a color.
It's feminine. I mean, we all have feminine things. Your goatees, I guess.
Yeah, your beard is postmenopausal feminine.
Yeah, yeah.
No, sorry, Mom.
I want to shave.
As far as what I've been up to, I assembled a crap load of flat pack furniture because it turns out you can only buy so much real furniture before you look at your budget and go, huh. So, yeah.
Oh, you moved, didn't you?
Yeah, I moved. Sorry. I haven't been on in a while. I moved, and my living space tripled in size. So we still have an entire room that has no furniture in it. Yeah.
Your house leveled up, if I could make a video game pun.
Well, your living space
yes, tripled, exactly.
You were forced into the basement, it looks like. So how's that working out? Are there other people living there?
There was absolutely no forcing whatsoever. I called it. The previous owners left a pool table and a bar and this lovely section.
No.
I'm not making this up.
Dude, you're lucky. I'm trying to convince Aubrey to let me get a ping pong table. She wants to get a dining room table. I think a ping pong table, you could just throw a little sheet over the top of it, and it's perfect for dining. So,
I think if we learned anything from Friends, it was that you could use a foosball table the same way.
Oh, do you remember those tables that had all of those things on them?
Yeah.
Like a top to it. It could be ping pong.
Air hockey pool, and foosball.
If I had one of those.
I don't want to rub it in, but there's also a ping pong table piece that fits over the pool table.
Are you kidding?
I'm not making this up.
What are your guys' thoughts on bumper pool?
It's for better cheaters.
I was going to say scumbags, but yeah, I'll go with cheaters.
Wow.
Filthy, filthy scumbags. What is bumper pool? I have no idea. I just jumped with
it. I've only seen the table like once. So I don't really have an actual
Is that like
opinion.
Bumper bowling? You know, like where you can't get it into the, the out. What is the out of bounds in bowling called? I forget.
Off the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, because the bumper pool, it's like it's a different shape. It's like hexagonal.
Really? This is all
pool.
New to me.
New pool is what chat's calling it.
That's fair.
New pool. Sounds like it. Well, good. Well, moving sucks. I'm sure it sucked for you in one way or another. So, but you're basically done with that?
I'm done with most of the important stuff. I mean, we hired movers, which was the best like $600 I've ever spent because I just had to unpack.
I would hire somebody to unpack. Just that's how lazy I am.
You can. They will pack and unpack for you for a fee.
Yeah. Ugh.
But I still need to run Cat 5 from the basement to the main floor to the top floor because we're just having issues with the wireless not being that great. And
this wireless sucks.
Yeah, I inherently don't trust it, no matter what Craig Sturgis says. the only problem with that is running cable through walls and ceilings sucks. It sucks worse than wireless. So I've kind of been putting it off. And
you should call my dad.
Why did I not think of that?
Call a professional.
To call a professional wire pusher. I think he's called an electrical contractor, but either one, he'll push those wires right through your walls. That came out real bad.
Yeah, it didn't. I actually do have a flex bit and a fish tape. Like, I know how to do it. I just there have been other things.
Oh, you got some skills, man. Justin Lacey, WrestleMania? Did that happen this weekend?
That happened this weekend. This was I probably went almost a decade without watching any WrestleMania, and up until 3 years ago, and now I just watched my third in a row. So it's kind of weird. The first one was like a get the old high school buddies back together that we all used to watch a ton of wrestling together, and that group has like dwindled each year, and now it was down to me and the guy that had the idea originally. So, but we had a good time. I don't know if you guys knew this, but The Undertaker is still wrestling, and all I'll say is his match has been the best match in the last two WrestleManias. So that is the state of the WWE, that a 50-year-old Undertaker.
How old is he?
He's in his late 40s or mid-40s or something, but because he is now...
Only?
He's now 21-0 at WrestleMania, so...
Who'd he beat?
He beat CM Punk, which is like the best new guy, the best new wrestler.
Oh, I was going to say... Have no idea who that is.
He's awesome.
Have no idea. Oh, is he the straight edge guy?
Yeah, yeah, he's awesome. And he did a bunch of stuff. His whole gimmick was and sad news, like what, a month ago, 3-4 weeks ago, Paul Bearer died. The guy.
Oh yeah.
And so Undertaker at the event that was actually in Indianapolis leading up to WrestleMania, he did a tribute to Paul Bearer and basically CM Punk stole the urn with Paul Bearer's ashes in it and did a bunch of, like, really heinous bits with it and tried to get under the Undertaker's skin. And it was, like, kind of borderline, like, that's kind of wrong. But that's what made it so good.
He really died.
Yes.
Those were his real ashes.
I'm sure they were his. Yeah, I'm sure that's what they were using as a prop, was his real ashes.
Hey, Justin, I just want to make sure you know, that's make-believe.
But it's awesome.
but it's when fiction and reality intersect, that's uncomfortable. Do you think the Paul Bearer's family was like, look, yeah, everyone knew our loved one as a creepy old dude that was a wrestling manager, and now you're going to parade around with his ashes? Fake or not, wow.
But then I think they countered with those viewers. Don't worry, not as many people watch it anymore.
Yeah.
But this is like, I've been doing this once a year. It's fun. It's good, dumb fun. And I mainly got it again just because I wanted to see The Rock wrestle again. I like watching The Rock. And
is he back?
He had the main event. Yeah, he was the champ all year pretty much. So he's got movies.
He's looking fit. Holy shit.
He's kind of disturbingly perfect. So
looks like he got into Stallone's HGH.
I love The Rock. I think he's awesome.
Oh, I do too. He's a gigantic man. He's a lot of beef. He must be eating horse meat or something. I don't know, man. He looks huge.
I would totally eat horse meat, for the record.
Oh, I would too. I wouldn't even think twice about it. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So cool, guys.
And then I've also been playing around with some media streaming stuff in my house. And so I have 3 Roku players in my house. And I've had problems, like, anything that I have on my computer that I want to stream to my TVs, I haven't had a good way to do that outside of, because I don't have anything that runs Xbox Media Center, and I've been using the PlayStation 3 media server, but it cannot run an HD stream. So I've been looking for something to help with that. So I've since moved my network hub in my house, and then I just tried this new software called Plex, which also has software on the Roku app. So it basically runs a media server, so I can hook up any videos. The thing was, the first day I tried this, and I didn't realize it at the time, first time I tried this, I hooked it up, dropped a few, like, test files, like old movies that I had on my computer, dropped them on there, and start playing with the Roku app, and you have to, like, name your files in a certain way for it to, because, like, if you, it'll go seek out, like, the cover art and the description of whatever you're about to watch, if it exists. Like, if it's a movie, it'll pull all the, like, IMDb info off of it, which is kind of cool. And so it took me forever to get to work, but I finally got to work, and when I go to play the first movie, it plays the Rick Astley Rick Roll song, and I'm like, What the shit? Does it, like, detect that I might not own the rights to this piece of media or something? I was pissed. I was like, what do people use this for? I was like, I'm just trying to, you know, rip DVDs or whatever I did to watch this movie, and I couldn't do it. And so then I went back and checked the computer, like, watched the file on my computer, and it was fine. I was like, did it just, what's it doing? And I go back and try it again, and it worked the next time. Well, this goes to show, don't ever try new software on April Fool's Day, because that was just their joke.
Am I the only one that doesn't see Rick Astley as an April Fool's type joke?
I was,
I mean,
so
when
mad.
I can't control, I feel like maybe I've accomplished something. I love his music. I love his music. It is such feel-good music, and I just feel like people think he's a joke, and I don't know. I don't know if I like that.
I do think people think he's a joke, because, oh, man, but I was not happy. And then I felt really, really dumb. I was like, that's a pretty good joke, but, like, not for new users. Like, people that are using this every day, probably it didn't throw them off. But, like, it cost me another hour of my time to figure out, what did I do wrong?
Oh, no.
So
I'm confused. How is it you only have the Xbox that's running the Media Center? Like, doesn't that just come part and parcel?
No. The software, that's XBMC. Like, the old streaming software you used to put on, like, an original Xbox, like, to stream any type of movie file. There are certain files that my Xbox 360 will not stream, because, like, MP4s or you know, certain HD files, it won't stream those. So I had to find a solution for that, and that's I led to Plex, and then gotcha. It fucking tricked me, and I was pissed. But other than that, it's really great.
good joke. That was a good joke on their part. So congratulations to them. Yeah, April. Yeah, man, I missed a lot of April Fool's jokes. I'm kind of disappointed. I always look forward to, you know, what mostly websites, because they tend to do, you know, most of it. And I don't know. I wasn't too impressed this year with anything, but that sounds like a really good one, actually. That was really, really good, because the one April Fool's joke that I thought was hilarious actually turned out to be true, and that was the Blood Dragon Far Cry 3.
Yeah, yeah. There were a couple of those.
But then now it's a jokes on them is that, you know, apparently Russian hackers have found some way to download the game.
Guess what? Out of all those services out there offered by video game publishers, Uplay apparently not the most secure out of all of them, because that's how they got to all the Blood Dragon. So that, I cannot wait. Did you get to watch the video
before it got taken out? I didn't get to it in time.
Oh, man. And then
yeah, it looks like it's going to be fun. I just have a feeling it will be. Far Cry 3 was fun. I love the 80s. Michael Biehn is going to be a voice in it.
Really?
Awesome. Which is, that's an expansion pack seller right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I mean, to hear Hicks go at it again, geez, dude, he was the man back in the day. And what's he doing now? I don't, actually the last thing I saw him in.
Cashing royalty checks?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, Terminator, The Abyss, Aliens, what do you want?
Yeah, he's fine. He's covered. He should be covered for life. Well, jeez.
What have you been up to other than traveling, Ethan?
We went on a little vacation last week. It was nice, but what I really want to talk about is I've been working on some new characters.
You sent me what was it, a timeline? Was that what you sent me?
Friday, and I was actually supposed to write a news article for the website, but I was using my time actively to actually create a timeline for all of the fictional characters that are featured, you know, during our streams, you know, Mr. Dave, Brass Carlson, Frank, you know, Chainsaw Murphy, all those, because I was getting really confused on how they all worked out. So I actually have been spending time creating the timeline, putting, you know, time periods, you know, so Diablo 3 right now is like the Stone Age, as far as I'm concerned, and just progressing from there. And wow, it's a convoluted mess at this point. There's a lot of time traveling, a lot of people being stuck in glaciers. But actually, it's been really nice to kind of get a grasp on that, because as I add new characters into this, I got a couple new ones, Andy Nachos, stunt driver, and then Chaz Coolman, just okay. A real cool guy, who I was Chaz Coolman actually came out of, because I can't go to Rolls Royce to visit my wife.
I wouldn't let you in either.
They don't really allow you to, but you know, clearance and that kind of stuff. So I was going to create a character called Chaz Coolman and go in and act like I was an intern, but like be real cool, so that everybody would be telling her like, oh, have you met Chaz? He's a great guy. And like, she would have no idea that it was actually me. I wear a wig or something.
Your video, all your creative characters in video games are now crossing over to the real world. That's a whole other.
Yeah, there's a lot story of line. There's like a, like in my mind, like there's like a portal that's opened up, and these guys are kind of climbing through and stuff like that. I like to integrate them. I spend a lot of time by myself.
Well, yeah, because so you did recently. You were streaming Defiance, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and Josh has ported Mr. Dave over there, and you've got your set of characters that are well known and to anyone that's played a MMO with you or a created character game with you. And the fact that you were trying to explain how Mr. Dave went from Dragon's Dogma into into the world of Defiance I hadn't thought of that being an issue, but I'm glad someone explained it.
Oh yeah, no. It's really intricate. So we're I don't know, you know, a lot of work to be doing. I could be doing more important things. I'm going to catch up on real, you know, website stuff this week. But for the time being, just so everyone at home knows, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to make sure that you know exactly where these fictional characters came from.
Good.
So, but enough about that BS. That's just ridiculousness. Let's talk about video games, because I'm I've been playing a hell of a lot of games this week, actually.
Catching up.
Really exciting. And I think you guys have too. I hope. If not, then why are you on this show? That would be stupid. You know, waste of my time. It's a waste of your time as well. And a waste people's. Of time of viewers. So. But Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Lacey.
Yes.
Because you guys are both named Justin.
Thank you. Yeah. I see what you did there. Yeah.
See how I reacted first? Is that is that kind of dickish?
No, I kind of assume that you always think that you're the first one. I mean,
he's older,
you, so there you go. I kind of gave you a nod in your direction.
Actually,
too,
I think
I'm older. You have less hair, or no, reverse. I'm older. You have more hair. Sorry, that was a Freudian slip.
We'll wait for Baldy. We'll leave him to the end. I'm just kidding.
That's fair. See, I know.
I'm going gray, dude. I'm going gray. I have still a beautiful mane, but still it's going gray. So we're all aging slowly. But Justin, what have you been playing? Looks like, I don't know, you went back in time, it looks like.
Yeah, so I will get to this, but this all stems... actually, there's two things here. First of all, I've been playing a lot of old arcade games at the office. We got an arcade machine at my office, and we've been doing weekly arcade challenges. Which is, you know, fun. I always like to go through old retro games and revisit them for the first time in a while. But you kind of always find, you know, you play it for one session or one and a half sessions, and then you just kind of move on. And it's kind of a great nostalgia hit. But you don't ever press yourself to try new things in these games. So we're playing all of these old games we thought we knew for leaderboard points, and we're a highly competitive bunch at my team at work. And so we started with Donkey Kong, and I wrote a piece on this, but realized I played a lot of Donkey Kong, I thought, as a kid, but I don't think I ever got past the first level, because there are four different stages to Donkey Kong. And
until I watched King of Kong, I didn't even realize there was a second level.
Yeah, like, I mean, I was thinking back to that movie, and there are two, I think they only show two of the stage types. The classic Donkey Kong stage, and then there's the Rivet stage. But there are two other stages that I had no idea even existed. And it just kind of like, one, made me feel like an idiot because I thought I knew my gaming history. But two, just made me feel incompetent for never seeing that. But then trying to retrain yourself to play Donkey Kong competitively is a whole other experience rather than revisiting it for nostalgia purposes. So we've been playing that. We've been playing Dig Dug. I know Gifford likes Dig Dug.
Love Dig Dug.
And this week's game is Gradius. So it's been...
Gradius is that the side-scroller?
Yes, yes.
Side-scroller shooter? Yeah.
Prequel to...
Galaga's up in... Okay.
Yeah, Galaga's up. Gradius is the prequel to Life Force, which is also known as Salamander. Like, that's the other... Right. Go to the Wikipedia for Gradius and figure out all the names of all the different versions of Gradius. But it's really, really fun. Like, we've got five of us that are just trying to one-up each other. And we're being jerks about it, too. Like, I told them, like, I was really mad at one of the guys that he beat my score, but he didn't tell anybody. So, like, we have a little whiteboard that we're keeping track of all of everybody's scores. And, like, I just walk up there. I was like, when the hell did you crush everybody? Like, you have to taunt us. You have to say something.
He's a secret champion. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being humble.
He was letting winning speak for itself.
No, that was a dick move. It's like, take your moment. You know, and it encourages people. People just like stop what they're doing and, you know, get up in a huff and try to beat them that next time. And so this is what I figured out. It's 5 days of gaming. First day, everybody's, I remember this game. This is fun. I'm so bad. And we're like joking around and that kind of thing. And then day two comes and somebody figures out a trick to get a lot of points. And then you start building off of that. And by the time, like, day four and five roll around, it is just vicious. There's usually two people that have, like, really taken to the game, and everybody else is just kind of sitting back and watching. And it's been a different two people so far each game, because, yeah, there are a couple of guys running away with Gradius. Donkey Kong, I never broke through, but Dig Dug, I went up to the wire with the eventual champion, but lost on the last day.
When you guys have the Galaga tournament, I'll come work for you guys for like a week. Your office isn't that far from
yeah,
mine.
You should come over. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be on there. But
well, I this is coming from an unemployed man, so I don't know if I should be too judgmental, but you're distracted. One, you're playing games when you should be working, and you're playing games that piss people off, and you're being competitive. This sounds like a horrible mix.
It could
like a horrible cocktail of just anger that's going to burst out. Like five people are going to walk away, and they'll be like, "What happened? Are we cutting? You know, cutting jobs? No, dude." Stan just beat the Galaga score, and it's bad in there. I mean,
it could end badly.
Was that?
Well, that was the funny thing. It didn't start out that way. I said, "Oh yeah, we should have a tournament," and now we're in week three, and I'm like, you're starting to see the people that take it a little bit more seriously than the other guys, and some people were in Donkey Kong but didn't like Dig Dug and were further down. I just like, I wonder like how many weeks in is until like our first kind of incident of somebody just being upset about a game or like accusing somebody of cheating. Like, it's very much on the honor system right now, and I would be lying if I said I don't enjoy the kind of like psychological aspect of that.
Oh, I hate
what was that? Oh. Wasn't it Half Brick? Wasn't it Square? You know what I'm talking about? They had the game with the tanks, and you have points. Yeah, and they had to disable the game because people were getting upset.
They were working on a multiplayer game. They wanted to do like a produce a free to play multiplayer game, and they're trying to find different ways to have incentives of people to get people to work together. And so they basically made this like turn based tank game where you can only move you had two teams, and you could or you had. No, I think you had an arena.
Everybody's on their own.
Yeah, everybody's on their own.
But you could only move so far, and you could gift movement points.
Yeah, and so people were started to gift movement points to one guy so that he could go after the boss of the company. And then after a few more rounds, like people were, you know, alliances were forming, alliances were breaking, and they had to stop development of the game because it threatened the company.
Do a ropes course, you know, do something like that.
Trust falls.
For the love of God, it sounds like
Hunger Games.
But seriously though, do you think this is how Bloodsport got started?
I think
it was just a casual thing in an office, and then like one guy took it a little bit too seriously, and then it just went from there.
I think that's how every major world war started, was with a video game.
Casual game in the office.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just a game. It was like a bad game of tic-tac-toe or rock, paper, scissors.
They took it to the edge.
Thumb wrestling. Yeah. So, yeah, that's been a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see. Like, we're trying to stick to just the arcade versions of games. So, right now we're dealing with a machine that only has three buttons, so that's been kind of a limitation. I also played on my own on the machine Golden Axe, the arcade version of that, and I'd never beaten that, and I played through that solo, and that I was trying to keep track of like how many credits I had to put in or how many continues I used, which ended up being like a dozen, and it would have cost me like I think $6 or $7 to beat that game. And I was like, you know, if they would actually like had told me that as a kid, I could have approached games a lot better. Like versus, I don't know, after you've put in, you know, 6, 7, 8 quarters or 6, 7, 8 continues, it feels like you're spending a lot more money than you really. You kind of are, but, you know, thinking back, I was just like, I would like to know how many quarters or how much money these games average, like, when you're, you know, versus, like, The Simpsons, which probably, you know, you have to drop $20 to beat that game because it's so cheap. But Golden Axe wasn't too cheap. I mean, I played it cheaply. I got, the fire-breathing dragon versus the fireball dragon, and I just tore through a couple levels with that guy. And it's all about getting the mounts in that game.
Yep.
And
oh man, well, and my brother would argue, you can't play with the swordsman. You got to play with the sorceress or the dwarf, one of the two. Like you can't go for the middle ground guy.
I apparently would disappoint your brother because that's who I played with. I still laugh at the little, you know, the potion holding gnomes, those, but have you guys, ever seen the ending to Golden Axe?
On Sega.
Do you? What happens?
Oh, I don't remember.
Does it zoom out to an arcade of people playing the game?
No.
And oh shit! I apologize. Did I say Gauntlet?
No, you said Golden Axe.
Okay, anyway. So talk about Golden Axe. Yeah. So it zooms out to an arcade, and all the characters jump out of the game and chase the kids out of the arcade.
No, I have played that, or I have beaten that in the arcade.
Oh shit! I didn't.
It was so random. I don't remember it. It was so random, and then they're in the arcade.
The bad guys jump out too after them. I think, don't they?
I think the bad guys jump out first. No, wait, you're right. I think no. The bad guys jump out first, and the heroes jump after them. It's got to be it. But
that's right.
And then they chase them through the streets, and then the Sega logo drops in and says, "Thanks for playing." And I was like, yeah. "That is so Sega. We had no idea." So
Sega.
I'm sorry if I spoiled the end of Golden Axe for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, because how many people are going to be pissed about that? Best part about that game is when you're fighting on a big mountain and you realize it's not a mountain.
It's a turtle?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there's two animals, and I had no idea. There's a hawk and a turtle. Yeah.
Yep.
That was
awesome.
That was, yeah, it's badass.
Awesome stuff. So, what else are you playing?
So lots of arcade stuff. Been playing a lot of PlanetSide 2. Thanks for everybody that played with us last week. So I guess the side of that I want to talk about now is I finally spent money in the game. So I crossed.
Oh, wow.
Like, I crossed into not just playing the game for free. And I was like, I've invested enough hours in this game. I feel comfortable dropping money on this game. And I started to understand, you know, what I want to upgrade versus what do I need. And, so I, you know, I'm looking at it like, compared to some other downloadable games I've played, so I dropped $20 in there, and I think I've only spent $6 or $5 or something. But I bought a sniper rifle, and then I bought some aesthetic stuff for my ATV because I've decided I'm going to trick that thing out. Like I want like a war machine ATV in this game. That is not going to be useful to anybody, but I think it's going to be funny and fitting for the way that I play the game.
Absolutely.
So, I've been having a lot of fun, still just kind of combination of playing solo versus finding a group of only, you know, 4, 5, 6 of us and, like, doing kind of fringe fighting. Really love it when we have, like, a group of that size and we go to, like, we go away from wherever the major conflict is and we go, you know, isolate a base and take it over and then draw the war to us. So that's kind of my new favorite thing to do there.
Did you spend money because you felt like you had to, or you just were like, "Yeah, it's time to do it"?
No, yeah, because I knew what it was.
A sniper rifle.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the time investment that it would take me to get there versus it's not really doing all that much for me. It's not giving me an extreme advantage. I feel like I still have to make the shots, especially with the sniper rifle. And I put a lot of time in the game, and so it's a combination of I want to support it versus I'm going to focus, you know, the certifications I get from playing and getting experience on this stuff, but this is a gun that is way far off for me, but it's going to make it also more enjoyable for me in the meantime. So it's just, I'm not going whole hog, but I will buy some of the aesthetic stuff because you start to care about your character. I mean, after you put in 20 hours into your character, I don't care who it is, that's when that stuff becomes interesting. So this is the breakthrough game for me as far as a free-to-play game that I'm dropping money on. So that was an interesting transition.
I think this game is going to ruin free-to-play for every other game that comes out because, like, what you get for that package is unreal. I mean, I haven't played for a long time, but I was still just surprised that I didn't have to pay anything for that. Which is kind of a weird thing about, you know, with Defiance, I think a couple people had said when we were playing that is that after playing PlanetSide 2, you almost feel like every game that's kind of a massively multiplayer game should be free to play. And it's kind of like not fair. I don't think it's necessarily fair, but holy cow, is that a well-made game.
Like, I've been really thinking, you know, what's the difference between a PlanetSide, the Defiance Guild Wars, which are MMOs where you just pay for the box and they have microtransactions if you want them, and then the I mean, we can kind of all agree that the subscription model for MMOs is pretty much dead or dying. So, but then there's still that ultimate level that the companies really want. But I don't know. I mean, it made sense for me to invest some money in PlanetSide 2. And I guess Sony Online is going to be using that engine for a lot of their upcoming games, because it's a really impressive game engine for sure.
Yeah, well, you guys have just convinced me I need to actually run that wire at least this weekend, possibly during the week, because I want to play this game.
I'll be on
a lot, I will spend $20 to have a sniper rifle, and we can have a scout sniper team.
And what do you? What do you got to lose? That's kind of the other side of that game. That was why it was, I think, a good fit for our horrible game night, just because anybody could jump in and try it, and it's just. It sets a really high bar for free-to-play games, I feel.
Mm-hmm. I will say Mike is right, though. What do you have to lose? You do have your life to lose.
Well, not if you're... You know, I'm trying to see... I've made it my personal mission in PlanetSide 2 to see if there is a limit that the game puts on you for how many times you can die versus how few kills you can get. Because I believe our last stream, my kill-death ratio was... 3 kills to 48 deaths.
Wow, that's impressive.
How many of those
deaths did you take on a tank with a pistol?
Probably. Yeah.
Did you? I don't know. I saw you take a tank off a ravine, or you know,
it was dark.
Trying to make like 38 shortcut deaths. I feel like is probably what you know.
I wish they would keep those stats. Death by your own vehicle.
If it was easy, it'd just be called the way.
I don't think I've ever played a first-person shooter and had a kill-to-death ratio. I know that's a big...
Oh, yeah.
That's a big,
oh, yeah.
I've never had one that was, like, above 50%.
Yeah.
I'm usually, like, solid 25%. I'll get 4 kills and maybe get killed, you know, 20 times. That escapes me. Especially PlanetSide 2. I feel like I'm dead and I have no idea how I died. I mean, you obviously know the guy that killed you, but it happened so quickly. And I just usually hide. Like, I'm like... I mean, maybe it's a good, you know, practice in psychology there is, you know, maybe you act like you would in real life. And I hide behind rocks and I just creep around in my special suit. And if I was going to spend money, I'd spend on a special hat. Maybe that would make people not, you know, shoot at me. I don't know. Can you get special hats on that game?
Yeah, potato hats.
For sure. You can get skull masks. Josh has a skull mask. Yeah.
I like skull.
But nothing that would make somebody want to shoot you less.
Oh, not like a smiley face hat, or like a Cat in the Hat hat.
Mm-mm. So
like Jamiroquai.
we needed a Jamiroquai reference. Yeah, thank you for that. You also get a kick out of this, Ethan. I invested some serious time into Terraria.
I saw that. I wanted. Yeah. What are you doing? Why?
I don't know. I mean the game came out for Xbox Live Arcade, so I decided. Now's the time I should play it on PC. I don't know. It was
those of us that even had a server going for a while that were having a good time. They're like, Justin, you should come over and try it. You're like, no, it's too overwhelming. Now you play it.
Well, a part of it is that I have not found a good block of time to play BioShock Infinite. So I'm just like, I'm finding myself with like, I have an hour to play a game. And BioShock, those type of games, I want to drop 3-4 hours at a time. I don't want to cut in, cut out. So I've just been kind of exploring random games, and I was like, I've been reading all about Terraria all week, and it just was in my brain, and I was like, well, let's give it an honest shot. I feel like since I last played Terraria, I put a decent amount of time into the Xbox 360 version of Minecraft to get past what I've always called my video game paralysis with those build-a-world type games, and I just started slow, and you know, all of a sudden 2-3 hours are gone, and I did that a couple different nights on not on purpose, not planning it, and really started to have fun, and I started like, yes, this is probably more interesting to me than Minecraft, just from the art style and some of the options there. So it's still kind of frustrating, some of the basic stuff that you have to look up. Like, I built my house, and the problem is everybody knows I'm a perfectionist, but I built the, what, the workshop, the table, what's like the, mm-hmm. the bench or whatever. And then I built an actual table, and then I built a chair. Two problems right there. When I set the chair down, it was facing the wrong direction. And then the way I built my house, the table was not like centered in the room like I wanted, and I could not figure out how to destroy the table or like move it. And it was really like I couldn't do anything else until I figured out how to turn this chair and move this table. So that might give you a little bit of understanding of why I find these games intimidating.
Yeah.
So eventually I just gave up and started digging and started having fun. So
I was going to say, I have that perfectionism thing too. Like, I'm not going to, like, don't get me wrong. I definitely feel you on that, because I'll spend a lot of time on something and just be like, there's something off a little bit, but, not to that extent, because you got to get down underground.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so fun. It's fun, but frustrating. I think actually, once you actually get in the action, it's definitely, there's a lot going on in that game. You know,
I mean, it's just like, I have to get that base home off to the right foot. I think once I get past that, I'll be good to go. But it's just like, I want to make sure I'm starting as solid as possible, and I'm still working on it. But I actually had fun.
Step one of 20 in that. Oh, it goes downhill from there.
So if you played Sims 3, you would just disappear from life.
Yeah.
Because that's all about like the decorating and making sure crap is just perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bash on the...
It never disappears. Yeah. Sims 3.
It will be some inane thing in a game you don't expect that has stuff like that. I mean, that was why I'd, you know, watch out when the new Animal Crossing comes out for 3DS. So, I could lose me to that.
We're going to wake up one day and Horrible Night will be changed completely. And it'll just be an Animal Crossing fan site. It'll just be fanfic.
Fanfic from all my villagers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could happen. And then, let's see. I did play a little bit of Borderlands 2 last week. I was streaming that. The only thing I wanted to say there was kind of just floored by the PC port of it, because I didn't hear anything about it, and I don't want to, we all know, hell, we did a podcast on it last week, that we're excited about new PCs and that kind of stuff, and I don't want to be that guy that, like, I still play my console, I'm not, this isn't the end-all be-all thing, but there are times when I notice the distinct difference between a game I put 20 hours into my console versus playing the PC port, especially of one that Borderlands 1's PC port was not that good. But Borderlands 2 looks pretty phenomenal. And it just, the art style just kind of really blew up. So, hoping to finally co-op my way through that game. But there's so many other games to play. But shout out to the PC port of that, because they did it right.
Well, I remember they made a big deal about that before the game came out, and that was exciting for me, because I wanted to make sure there was a good port of that. But co-op wise, dude, hey, you know, I know a guy that's, I mean, he plays a lot. He's not handsome. He's not a handsome guy, not very well spoken, but he'll play with you.
And there's tons of DLC. They're bumping up the max level
up to 60. I want to jump into it. I want to get a level 60 guy. I've never in any game maxed out levels, dude. That is what I want to do.
You're,
I
like,
do
level
something.
I figured you wanted.
No, nothing. I can't think of one.
Skyrim.
Nope, still haven't. Especially because they just released
that
legendary
bumped that too.
Yeah. So no, I
wait.
There,
Fallout
I always
3
see games. I want to.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
There we
okay.
go. Good work, Giver. Good work.
You know, not New Vegas. I didn't, because there was another level cap increase that happened with one of the expansions that I think maybe it was Old World Blues that I just got into it and started playing that for a while and then stopped playing Fallout. But Fallout 3, yes, I did max out. So yes, thank you for that. So.
And then the last thing on my list that's not on anybody else's is so we were all sad last week. LucasArts is no more. Disney apparently didn't see the value in the name of that company anymore, and also canceled some promising Star Wars titles. So
Battlefront 3.
Battlefront 3 and then Star Wars 1313.
Oh, which, is that canceled now?
It's all
Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's agitating. But aside from all the LucasArts nostalgia, the adventure game stuff, I feel like I've gotten my fill of that. I decided my motivation was to get secure all the Jedi Knight titles because I was a huge Jedi Knight 1 and 2 fan. And then I ran into some PC problems. Could not get Jedi Knight 1 to actually run on my computer. So that's a little bit frustrating. But
what's
I kinda,
the title of Jedi Knight 1?
Okay, so it's Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight.
Okay.
And then it's Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast.
Right. I have not played, because they released the source for Jedi Knight 3, also
the
released
Academy the source for Jedi Knight 3,
the Academy, yeah. Which I have not played.
Right. Okay. But yeah, Jedi Outcast was the game where, the first game that made me feel like I was actually using the Force in a game.
That game was so badass.
Yeah, so I will definitely be streaming that in the future, but I really wanted to see how Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight held up, because that was kind of more, what was that? That's like Quake 1-ish era. Like, like original Dark Forces is more Doom style, but I didn't have any interest in playing that. But I could not get that game to run, so if anybody has gotten that game to run on Windows 8, let me know what I'm missing. I found some patch stuff, but I was digging through the Steam forums and old Jedi Knight forums and couldn't figure it out. So, but that's also, like, as frustrating as that is, I can't get mad about old games not running, and I like tinkering, so I will get that to run, and our stream will be better for it.
Yeah, I'm sure. And if not, you've got plenty of games.
I think so.
And it looks like, actually, Justin Gifford, you have plenty of games as well. Are you playing Black Ops 2?
You must have missed that podcast. Yeah,
No, I did. I heard it, but I'm excited to talk about it again because that is one of my games that surprised the fuck out of me. So
yeah, I'm with you. Surprised the fuck out of me. Like I really enjoyed it. It's fun. I like multiplayer, and even though I always feel like it when I'm not playing with like a group of people that I know, at least Brandon says I'm not terrible at it, so my KD ratio is hovering right around 1-1, so I don't feel terrible.
Hey.
I've been playing some Halo 4. Really enjoyed the Spartan Ops campaign, although I was expecting a achievement points, and I didn't get them when I finished all the episodes, so it's kind of a bummer.
Whoa. It wasn't just a bummer. Just be honest.
I was pissed. I was like, where are my achievement points? I just played through all 10 episodes of this stupid thing, which is essentially waves of enemies coming at me, and I want my achievement points. I also felt that while it was totally a Halo game, what happened to the story? Like, suddenly the Covenant and the Prometheans are working together out of the blue. And there is no explanation as to why they're doing that. Maybe there was on, like, some web series or something, but it's just they're suddenly working together, and I don't know why.
The lore of Halo is Hollow Man. The lore of Hollow Man, I know. Kevin Bacon goes invisible.
Elizabeth Shue.
Off Elizabeth Shue's corset in the middle of the night. But Halo, no, I still don't. I mean, so in Halo, what happens is Master Chief wakes up as a robot, fights some aliens, falls in love with a hologram, and then goes to a magical planet that he can't escape from.
Yes.
Huh. Boom.
Nailed it.
Boom. It took 4 games for them to explain that, did they?
Yeah.
There's got to be more going on there, because I saw, actually at the bookstore, I saw a bunch of novels. I didn't realize there were novels. There's novels.
Don't read any of the, there are several early ones that are not, they're bad, like Microsoft apologized. There are a couple of them written by Greg Bear, who is a, like, Hugo Award winning novelist, and they're good. But, yeah, I just felt like 343's Industries
first try out at the Halo series, whose stories I've really enjoyed under Bungie. There was some missing detail, and I was a little irritated about it.
I have gone on record with never giving a shit about the Halo story.
I thought you looked like you were about to say, "Now wait a minute, sir. This was my Citizen Kane," but no,
nope,
completely opposite.
But I did start to care, like around like all the tie-in stuff. I got more into ODST and Halo Reach than the main trilogy, and I thought. And I completely bought into where 343 was headed as far as, like, E3 last year, like, what they were showing. I thought it had a lot of promise. And it started off pretty cool, but I feel like they blew an opportunity to, you know, really make Halo their own. And now it's just kind of like, where and why are you going with this? And it's really frustrating because I think it could have been really awesome, and they had... It seemed like they had all the time and money behind it to make that happen, but I'm sure there was a decision made higher up that they, like, you know, don't break this. Like, it's not, you know, it's not broken. So
I feel like they Dead Space 3'd it. They EA'd it.
I like that better. Real quick tangent. I just read an article this week talking about the origin of the original Dead Space. That apparently it was essentially a side project that people within Visceral and EA were working on in their own time, to the point where they had enough of it done to pitch it internally, and they just kind of ran with it. And that's kind of why it is so different. And then it kind of explains where that series went after EA had to basically adopt it. But Halo.
Yeah.
Do we want Halo 5? Do you want to play Halo 5?
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean,
trucks are fun.
Good.
But we got plenty of games with trucks anymore, too.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we do. There's a lot of them.
There were a lot of things I liked about it, but they didn't bring the Saber Fighter back for me to fly, and I really did not like... Well, they did, but it was atmospheric, and that sucked. Yeah, it was fine. I'm not angry I spent money on it, but...
Right, yeah. I mean, it's quality. Did you play any multiplayer?
Just co-op.
Okay.
So, not really.
Yeah, that's weird, because I thought people loved Halo 4, and as of late, I feel like people are kind of like, well, I mean, we didn't love it. It was okay.
I mean, it's... No. I don't feel like... I feel like there's been a lot of middling games lately, like middling top AAA quality games that aren't, you know, fulfilling on their promise, but they're good enough, right? And, And
sorry, I'll
crotch
be
shot
right back. Yeah, sorry for the crotch shot. Give me just a second.
And
I'll be right back.
And I don't think Halo falls into that realm as far as it's not middling, but it's also just it doesn't have any impact. It didn't. It's completely harmless. And they, I think I would have been okay if they had even at E3 just shown that they're going in the same direction, but they almost teased that they were going to try to do new stuff, and
yeah.
I don't like being teased like that. So
I video games need to take a vacation.
Yeah,
take a little bit of vacation. Put some thought into it. You know, vacations, it really helps. It's really helpful. It's been helpful to me in terms of creating characters, and I'm sure it's good for video games as well. Just because I don't know, it is weird right now. I think it's a lack of excitement that I'm kind of feeling now. And we talked about this with the PlayStation 3, and I was being pretty negative about that and pretty negative about the Wii U, but just again, like, the excitement of, like, okay, we've seen it, what are you going to do with it? What's why, how are you going to wow me? And I haven't, it's been a while since I've been looking, like, super forward to a game because it had some sort of mechanic or something that just was like, oh my god, I've never seen that before. You know, and I mean, again, like with, you know, you've got your Modern Warfare is released every year and all that kind of stuff, which I don't have a problem with at all. But I do want to be excited at least, you know, like I want 75% of my games to be, you know, oh, solid. Like, I know it's going to be a good, solid game, nothing new, whatever. That's fine. Mindless fun, whatever. But I want 25% to be like, whoa, shit. Whoa, what did you see? Did I see that? Is that really happening?
Is this a whoa, shit game?
A whoa, shit game is what this industry needs at this point, and they're those are easy to do because you just basically look at what everybody else is doing, do the opposite.
That's the blueprint.
That's all you need.
Unemployed advice coming your way.
Unemployed advice.
he's a professional.
Sorry, I looked at the screen and you were pointing right at me, and I was like, "Oh,
got a tie on."
I should talk. I think that's what some of the levels in Reach did. I mean, they weren't. It was still totally Halo,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there were definitely levels in Reach where it was like, "Holy shit, this is awesome."
Yeah, I love that. I love the kind of self-contained aspect of some of those levels. It was just like a bunch of different flavors versus kind of a continuous log. I think the other thing I was thinking about with Halo 4 and why I'm not excited about anything Halo right now is that they also came out and just flat out announced it as a new trilogy. So it's just like, so I have to go through two more games until you might try something different. Which I really want Halo to do, because we have enough. Like, even the offshoot games weren't all that different, you know what I mean? And I'm in the minority for actually liking ODST, it sounds like, so...
I didn't play it.
What I'm asking for is Halo Wars 2.
No. I'm asking for Halo Sims. I want to be a part of creating my Halo...
Halo Animal Crossing.
Their lives. I want to... What are those called? What are they called? Spartans. They're called Spartans. Mm-hmm. I want to have a group of Spartans all living together in one house, complete strangers.
Dormitory style.
Doing their best to get, you know, to get through this crazy life.
Building a snow couch on the front yard.
No, I don't know. That's me.
Build a snow couch on the front yard, hold up a sign that says, "Absolutely. You honk, we drink." Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Where's this game at?
I was going to say, I don't even think Sims has made Sims Fraternity, but Sims...
Well, they should.
Halo Sims Fraternity, I think that might have some buyers.
If, you know what, these are great ideas. Let's keep it on the DL, okay. Guys. We're giving away all of our good stuff. They'll be like, Halo Sims University, this is unbelievable. These dudes are geniuses.
No, not university. Yes, they've done university. Fraternity.
So they're in a fraternity. They don't go to college. It's like old school.
Yeah.
We've got copyright on this. No big deal.
We got a lawyer on the podcast. We're fine. That's like double trademark.
We need to talk after the show.
If you come up with an idea in front of a lawyer, it's like double trademark.
That's what. Yeah. Well, I may have stolen an idea, but we'll talk about it after the show. I may be in some legal hot water.
Copyright.
I'm just kidding. You got to register. What else are you playing?
You can mail yourself the idea or have a lawyer literally say copyright. That's how it works.
Actually, before we move on, what about characters? I don't want to lose my characters. I've been putting them out there a whole lot as of late, and I would hate for someone to come up and take them. They're mine now, aren't they?
Copyright them.
Okay. Just start adding TM after everything you do.
No.
TM?
Add a C, not a TM.
Okay.
How do you pronounce that C? Is it just C because it's got a circle around it?
Circle.
There's gotta be a special
it's two parentheses and a C.
It's a circle. That's how you say it.
Just okay.
It's a circle.
It's a circle.
Whatever works.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So I don't know why I bought it, but I got Retro City Rampage.
Man, easy.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the guy put a lot of work into it, and there's a lot of clever references, and it's sort of amusing. But I don't love... I didn't have an NES, so I don't love that really raw graphical style and the MIDI sounds. It's what? Okay.
Okay, okay.
It's fine.
Why did you buy it, then?
I think it was on sale.
Okay.
Oh.
I tried it out. Like, it's entertaining. Like, there's some parts where I'm like, I really want to like this.
But I hate the premise.
Everything about this game is absolutely horrible. It's on sale now? Finally. Come down in price.
What? It's not horrible.
No.
Like, I don't hate it. I'm just kind of like, eh. And besides, you wouldn't shut up about it.
I was excited for it.
That game sits on a weird line. Uh-huh. It isn't super amusing, but I mean, it's amusing, but it's not fun.
You play it one joke at a time, and then you take a break and come back to it. That's kind of what I determined, and I didn't want it to be that way, but that's what it came down to, is the gameplay. It's ultimately, you're just enjoying the jokes, and, like, I don't want six straight hours of jokes. It has some pacing issues with that sort of thing, but it's incredibly clever, and just, from that whole, the aspect of just the labor of love that it was for the developer, for the creator, I really respect it. But as far as, like, a fun game to play, an easy game to recommend, even to just people that get those jokes, it didn't even hit that with me. It was like, we did a game curious of it, and by the end of the first hour, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, I got my fill, and I know there's a lot more, and I understand that, but if you come at me with, I don't really dig the art style or the music, I think the game's really working against you at that point.
Yeah, the jokes were pretty much all that was keeping me in it.
Yeah, just you want to see what the next one is. What's the next reference? Yeah. That's the motivation to keep playing. Yeah.
Like the Doc right now is just like the Doc Brown reference with Back to the Future, and I'm like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Let's go back out and hear my brand new surround system go ping, ping, ping.
No, awesome. Headphones, another headphones game. That's a good point about some of those retro games, even the ones that are just good homages, that maybe that's not absolutely meant for your 5.1 surround sound system. It might be.
Yeah, literally just bought a new one, and I'm just like, wow.
Because I would honestly say, get that game on a handheld, get some stereo sound, go off in a corner for a half hour, play that game, keep coming back to it. Don't load it up on your big screen in your new man cave and expect to spend an entire evening playing it. And honestly, some of these downloadable games kind of need that warning label. Like, temper your expectations. Like, not every downloadable.
It's not gonna be fun.
Yeah, it's not that it's not fun. It's just it just like when you look at like a Grand Theft Auto style type game, that especially what it's modeled off of, you think you're gonna dump hours and hours into it, and good luck with that one.
Yeah,
but I love that game. I love that game.
You would love to love that game.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Are you in love with that game, or do you love that game?
I love that game, but I wouldn't ever force it on anyone else.
Yeah. Okay.
But you guys can, if you guys want to watch me play it, I've heard that that's fun. That's what Josh. That's what Josh said. He's like, I would never want to play this game, but I'd watch you play it.
Oh yeah, I couldn't imagine watching it. That was one thing. I mean, it kept me going a little bit, but yeah, no, whatever. Good job, good go. One guy did that, so hey.
Yeah, very hell great accomplishment. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
He got all the chivos for that one.
I started making a game last week, and then I stopped within like a half an hour. It's tough. Making games is tough, especially when you don't know what you're doing. So.
I don't nothing against you, Ethan, but I bet Retro City Rampage was more fun.
Then my game, my game was super fun. Oh. It was actually called Fun Game 2022. It was all about fun. No jokes, no music, just pure.
Just about the band?
Saturated fun. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun game. It wasn't a fun game at all, actually.
You
it
sit
was
on
like
this...
that tank game we talked about earlier, but no one playing it. Just me with a piece of paper in front of me screaming at the cats as they swat at me.
Well, there's your game right there.
Yeah.
What else are you playing?
Cat swatting. I've got Mass Effect 2 and 3 sort of in the wings because.
What do you mean in the wings? They're not in the wings. They've been on no pilot for the last fucking 5 years.
What is? And I mean this. I mean this honestly.
Playthrough because I still haven't played the After Effects or whatever the hell the most recent DLC is, which apparently is awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go into it without my crew being perfect.
You know how this ends, though. Like,
I haven't played the expanded ending at the end of 3.
Okay. I was gonna ask, I was like, what the hell is left for you? You've put in more hours.
Mass Effect 4.
Don't ask for it. please don't ask for it.
But
you'll get another Mass Effect, but please don't be Mass Effect 4.
But they just... Okay, fine, another Mass Effect. That's fine. It doesn't have to be 4, but they said they're not done with Shepard's universe. And
I just hope they're done with Shepard.
That's fine. I'm okay with being done with Shepard. But, you know, EA... I didn't realize this until somebody pointed it out, and I remember whose article it was, but the only games from EA that I've really gotten excited about have been done by BioWare. So I need more BioWare games.
EA hopes so.
Yeah, no shit, right?
So how many hours have you put into Mass Effect entirety? All of them. I'm curious now. There's got to be 400.
I don't really want to talk about that right now.
I know he's 120 plus on each of them. I would guarantee that.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
I won't lie to you, Gifford. I almost just in my random 12:30 at night. I just want to play something. Maybe I should start Mass Effect 1 just to see how that is after all of this. I didn't do it yet, but
I wouldn't.
I mean,
the only thing that I miss about that is being able to make a sniper rifle into a rocket launcher. Like, because you can't do that in 2 and 3. In the first one, you could, like, put the explosive rounds and the rail accelerator or something on that. Like, oh, it overheats for 20 seconds, but whoever you shot with, it's dead.
You'll have to, once you do play through the DLC, especially the Citadel stuff, you'll have to report in.
Citadel's the only one I haven't played. Okay. I've played all the other DLC.
But you haven't seen the extended ending, is that right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I've never had the option to do nothing or ignore the fourth option. Yeah.
Right.
It's Mass Effect, so it's what it is.
Good luck with crack. That.
I realized recently that I have not ever completed Legend of Zelda.
The first one.
The first one. I've beat all the ones from Ocarina going on.
By Link to the Past.
That was always my favorite one.
Okay.
Oh, wait, not Link to the Past. I'm thinking about Link's Adventure. Zelda 2.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I didn't know you were a Zelda 2 guy.
I really enjoyed that. I liked the overhead versus... Yeah. Side-scrolling.
You and Cole should get drunk together and talk all about it.
Well, Cole and I have gotten drunk together once or twice. And no, I have also not played Link to the Past.
Yeah, that...
At all.
I somehow skipped the entire 16-bit generation without playing that till I got to college, and that is all that they say it is, as far as... It's a toss-up as to... It needs to be in the conversation for your favorite Zelda, no matter what. So,
yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, without having played Skyward Sword, my favorite Zelda is Wind Waker, so...
So you should try to play Legend of Zelda without any help.
No.
Damn it. If anybody can do it, you can do it, Gifford. You're a completionist.
That's true. I could do it, but I don't know if I want to. We'll see.
What kind of help qualifies help?
How about we hold Mass Effect, all your copies of Mass Effect, hostage until you do it? Would that motivate you?
It would, but we had an alarm system installed.
You're not getting
just on the case that holds the Mass Effect trilogy.
But, you know, other than that, I've been talking with a friend of the site, Nicole, about, and well, you guys are doing Defiance, but on PC. She got it for Xbox. I'm going to give it a shot on Xbox. Nice. Because I want to kill some bugs.
Yeah, Nicole, puregeekery.net. Good people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I like killing alien bug things that are attacking humans, and since Gearbox screwed me out of that for 5 years of waiting, we gotta find a replacement.
Did you watch Ethan's Brotabulous video?
I did.
If that doesn't pump you up to play Defiance, you're not interested in Defiance. I'm just gonna throw that out for everybody.
It was a Dodge Challenger. It was awesome.
Yeah.
That is the best
part. I finally unlocked my Dodge Challenger. I didn't understand how to do that. Like, it's buried. Yeah. But that's the most ridiculous part about, like, And so Defiance, we knew it as the video game that was tied into a sci-fi TV show, like Sci-Fi Network.
Which I'm totally going
to
watch.
And so, you know, they've taken the time to develop this universe, and I like the art style of the game. I like the setup for the story and, you know, this kind of weird other kind of apocalyptic San Francisco area. It's everything fits, except that there's, at any given point, there's like half a dozen Dodge Challengers driving around everywhere, and it's so blatantly, like, I mean, everywhere, and it's just...
You don't think that a Dodge Challenger would be the only thing to survive, the only vehicle to survive the apocalypse? Because a 1972 Dodge Challenger is a badass vehicle.
I think that's what Dodge is hoping, that the logical leap people will make of why this... is the only car.
The only problem I have is that there are no Volkswagen Beetles. Because if it was just Dodge 72 Challengers and Beetles, suspension and disbelief would be no problem.
I get the car thing. That's great. I see a lot of people driving around with them, even the trucks. But you know the thing that is silly to me is that there's ATVs accessible from the get-go. And people have opted out of that?
Yeah.
People have moved on?
Yeah.
There's nothing to catch bullets.
The only reason to use the Dodge Challenger is if you have a bro and you want to be in the same vehicle. Only so you can do the dramatic shot of both of you rolling out of the car, which Ethan has done for everybody's entertainment.
I wish you could ride the ATV with two people. That would be nice. But no, I actually was really nice to ride around with Josh, because I didn't have to do any of the navigating, though I do like to do stunts on my ATV, and I that's what I spend most of the time. I mean, Gifford, here's what's going to happen with the game. I don't know how you play these games. I know you're kind of a completionist.
Yeah, obsessively.
You might get distracted by the hills and the jumps that you can take at any given time. I know that, you know, San Francisco needs your help. They're going to need your help, okay? But San Francisco is also filled with ramps.
And
unbelievable ramps.
And it's home to the two greatest movie chase scenes of all time in Bullet and The Rock.
You're just motivated the whole time to just drive around like an asshole and just jump off cliffs and stuff like that. Because there's no penalty, because you have all the... It's like an all-you-can ATV buffet, you know? Like, it's like like one of them explodes, you jump on and get another one, you hit a button, it teleports in. And you're just having a good time. I mean, that's like I've run into... There's two groups of people that are playing this game right now. There are people that are actually playing this game right now. There's people that just doing the ATV thing, doing the driving, and it's awesome. And the best part about it, though, is none of the vehicles have collision, which, yeah, as I play it more, it makes sense now. Like, it makes
sense. But it feels so wonky at first.
What do you mean? They just bounce off of things?
No, they just go through. You'll drive right through. Like, if you're driving, like, if your guy has an ATV, like, you can hit enemies, but you can't hit other people.
Players.
Yeah.
There's no collision with other players.
You literally, like, you'll go to these arc falls, which are these big events. They're kind of, I guess, they're kind of like the raid type events of this game. And you'll see, you know, when these happen, everyone on the map makes their way up there. And what happens is you've got, you know, you look up on your radar, there's all these little purple dots, which mean players, and a flood of vehicles, okay? Not a group of vehicles, a flood, because they're all intermingling, they're all like this, you know, biological, like, just entity just making its way over these hills, and it's just like...
It's one giant Dodge Ram.
Oh, dude, it's like a Transformer. It's like a Transformer blanket on the landscape, just, and it explodes, all these people doing somersaults, and then it's just gunfire. It's... I keep getting excited. Like, when we were playing this game during the beta, you know, I was like, oh, this is fun, you know, but I don't know what's going to keep me in. What's kept me in so far is co-op and playing with people, but also the fact that at any given time, no matter what is happening, someone has got your back. I've taken a few of those arcfall events on my own.
I'm sure you have.
And right when I think that I'm done, suddenly I'm down, and there's a freaking truck or, you know, an ATV coming in, you know, swinging.
It's like that World of Warcraft commercial with the truck and the dragon.
Yeah, it's like, thank you, like, well, welcome. Like, that is the game. Like, you can't troll in that game. Like, well, I don't want to say that because as soon as I say that, somebody's going to be like, uh-oh, I'm going to find a way, I'm going to screw everybody over. But, like, you have to, like, cooperate. Like, it's fun. There's the Shadow Wars and that kind of stuff. I haven't gotten into the competitive play of it, but, oh, man, I love to see a group of people come together to shoot giant insects. It's good. It makes me feel like maybe if this Earth gets attacked, because I've had my doubts as of late. I'll be honest with you guys. If aliens attacked, would we come together as a group?
I think if we have enough ATVs and Dodge Challengers, I think we've proven that we will.
That's why there's not an Independence Day too. But they would just see this just ocean of ATVs just coming their way. They'll be like, oh shit, pull that, just whoop, like just right back into the portal you came from, assholes.
I want to see an ocean of ATVs.
Well, just play Defiance at any given time. You'll see them.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see how it turns out on Xbox. Is it a full price game? Mm-hmm. Since it's okay, yeah,
but no subscription model, just microtransactions.
Okay, I'll be interested to see how they deal with expanding the world and all that
crap. So, the interesting thing...
Persistent MMO on a console.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. That's not exactly a small achievement. They don't just... Like, there aren't just random MMOs on consoles, but they're like, oh yeah, this is also on PS3 and Xbox 360. So it's just kind of like, oh, that's good on you. Like, I know it's had some technical issues to launch, but I mean, this isn't, like, as offensive as some others. So there was somewhere buried in the menus, I forget what it was, but I was like, you're reading like backstory or mission information or something, and there was something that
do all this all at the very beginning.
What's that?
Never mind, I shouldn't have even asked that question.
No, it's all there. I ignored it because we were riding ATVs. Like, honestly, it's hard to pay attention to. Yeah, it's the UI is terrible. But somewhere in, I think actually it was in the statistics area, and it called it out as basically your season one statistics, which could mean, like, you know, there are plenty of shooters out there that try to, like, they'll cut off their leaderboards every few seasons. I mean, StarCraft does this; it has seasons. It could be that, or it could be literally that they're gonna change up story content based on the show every season, or. And that wouldn't surprise me because they have to tie it into the show somehow. That's been one of the big things, is the show is going to affect the game and vice versa. So
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised to see, like, basically it's content patches or expansions or whatever their plan is related to, like, the show starting and stopping.
I'm not crazy about, like, you know, the Saturday matinee sci-fi movies, Sharktopus and whatever.
Yeah.
But... when they do, I do enjoy their bigger budget series. I'm a huge Stargate fan, and I love Eureka. So, you know, if they do a good job with this, hey, man, I'm all behind it. Like, I get to play the game and affect the series a little bit, and you guys get some extra revenue to fund it instead of cutting it off after season 5 because the actors' salaries go up. That happened to Eureka, and I loved that. One of my favorite shows of all time, and I was pissed.
Yeah,
there's clearly completely different groups of people making the movies and making the television shows. I feel like the people making the movies are people like me, and the people making the television shows are.
But I feel like, especially on the writing of the main girl that you're following around, like, I feel like the TV writers have somehow they have influenced this game, and for the worst, because she's such annoying. A terrible character. She's such
ass is annoying.
She's such a just a stereotypical, like, oh, she's the tough girl. Like,
yeah,
that's we get it. Like, it just gets blasted in your head so much.
She's a piece of shtocko.
Yeah,
that is the worst part about that game.
They have their own curse words. They're trying to be Battlestar, and that, I mean, she says Stocko all the time. There's another one too. Whatever.
Let's go back. It's they're trying to be Firefly, because that was before Battlestar and better.
Well, that's sci-fi. That's the only reason I said it was Battlestar.
Regardless, making up your own curse words. I mean, maybe if you're trying not to curse as much, maybe that's what they're trying to do. Maybe one of the writers, but then clearly. You know, my favorite character, Black Sheriff, he says fuck all the time. Like, he just...
Black Sheriff?
Yeah, that's what we call him.
Just as our our favorite curse words from Earth have survived this apocalyptic scenario. That makes me a lot happier. Like, you can have your new curse words too, or your alien curse words, or mutant curse words, or whatever they are. But just like, let us, as long as we still get to have our classics too. Yes, so that makes me happy.
We need to keep the fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they do.
Yeah.
They do. They say it a lot. So.
So, Ethan, where are you, aside from like co-op ATV romp? Where are you? You know, enjoyment level of the game.
I'm still liking it. You know, it doesn't have any loot lust. The loot is different. It's balanced the whole way. I mean, you don't ever find weapons that are just out of this world. They all have supplemental, you know, like aspects to them. That's kind of weird. I'm actually playing the story missions because I was starting to lose a little bit of steam with the story missions because I was having fun getting distracted. But then, and you can see this on the stream. Josh and I made a little discovery. You drive really south in San Francisco. There's a gigantic robot guarding what's left of the Golden Gate Bridge. And so you can't get past him. We tried for about 30 minutes to try to get past him some way. He just blew. I mean, he's huge. He's bigger than those big red bugs you fight, the big hell bugs. This robot obviously is connected to the story somehow, and that's the only way I'm going to be able to get through to them. But Josh and I tried to game the system for about half an hour. We couldn't get through to it. So right now I'm motivated to not goof off because of a giant robot. And then after that, the goofing off is going to continue.
It's fun to play with friends. Have you done many of the co-op missions, like the actual matchmaking type stuff?
Yeah. Josh and I did one this past week, and then I did another one with people. The co-op, the four-player co-op missions are okay. They're nothing to write home to mom
about. I think
about.
They're you really a nice change of pace, though. Else. Like, I think they're a nice change of pace, like, just getting more of the interior missions, too. That was in there, like, it felt like a little bit of a different game. The action in this game it's good enough.
So speaking of gunplay, because you know, I know you guys are both kind of talking about it. From what I could tell, like, do you actually switch clips and have ammo, or is it more like Mass Effect 1 where you just shoot until you're?
No, yeah, it plays like a gun game. I mean, it's a gun game.
I mean, there are ammo crates like everywhere, so you can usually not far from being able to go get more ammo, but you do kind of have to pay attention to it. I haven't gotten too deep into the whole salvaging system and like upgrading and modding your weapons. Have you done much with it? Can you talk me through like what's the goal? Like, I don't know. Should I sell my weapons or should I salvage them? What's the right route there?
At this point, I've been toying with it enough that when you salvage, you actually get a different type of resource. And it escapes me at this point. Maybe it's just called salvage, actually. But you can use that to actually upgrade your weapon because all the weapons have attachment slots, up to 4 attachment slots. Mm-hmm. Not all the weapons have those, so you can actually upgrade your weapon so that it features all of them. And the attachments, I mean, basically do things like it's not, you know, you're not like adding like flame bullets or whatnot, though there are flame bullets in the game, but you're adding things like, you know, you're cutting bloom down, you're raising accuracy. Some of the weapons give you more melee attack damage. Then you also have this synergy stuff, which works kind of like with socketable items and like a torchlight 2 or whatnot. In that, you know, if you have all of these different items, all these different synergies put together, they you know.
So it's like an armor set.
Yeah. So for every one, you know, so that's different, but they're not doing anything like, you know, you're not ever going to get a gun. I don't think you're going to get a gun and just blow everybody out of the water just based on your gun. Because again, the loot lust is completely different. The shields, I mean, I think I've had the same shield for, you know, last 5 hours.
The last, like 170 levels. I like how the levels are in the hundreds. Like, I mean, I think, when I was watching your stream, you were level like 386 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
wait, you see, you're carrying a shield?
Yeah,
it's just like
Borderlands 2.
You got a grenade.
Oh, it's a shield. Like on sorry, you can't see me gesturing, but it's like you wear it on your belt. You don't like it's not like a buckler,
right?
No. They have all energy shield weaponry, but they still have shields. They still have bucklers.
And it definitely has a little bit of Borderlands like to it, as far as like the questing and that kind of stuff. Go into it like third person Borderlands, but add more MMO to it, and you'll but it's we've gotten a lot more fun out of it already than I ever expected. You know, ever expected 3 weeks ago. I was not sure how this would turn out, and it seems solid enough. And I'll be really curious to see how people do or do not take to it.
When I wrote a Reflex review on it or a preview of the beta. And kind of talked about, is it trying to pull the shooter crowd? Is it trying to pull the MMO crowd? And I don't think it's getting either one of those.
Yeah.
I think they're going for a different, you know, demographic there, because Verdine and I were talking on the chat, and, you know, as he was watching, he was just kind of like, you know, like, it kind of looks like you're doing the same thing over and over again. And you kind of do, but because it has an action aspect to it, it's different, so it doesn't feel like as monotonous. But then again, if you're used to playing an MMO where you're going to benefit from the grind, I guess this game you don't benefit quite as much necessarily, to the extent that you would, you know, in an MMO where you're getting gear or leveling up or whatnot. So, but I do understand the skill system a little bit better. That works out well. You now actually can click on or hover over the little skill beacons and see what, you know, what direction you're trying to get to. But again, they don't make or break the game by any stretch of the imagination. So
I'm looking forward to, you know, a massive co-op game. Like, you know, from the way you guys have described it, I've never really gotten an MMO, but except for City of Heroes when it first came out. But I'm just really looking forward to this, especially since I can do it with a console instead of sitting at my computer.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like it's got more action than any MMO I've played, and that it's kind of interesting, Ethan, that you said that covers up the monotony of MMO questing, which is there in all of the MMOs, but it does lose a little bit of the loot lust as the driving factor. And it would I think it'd be nice if it had a little bit more of that. But we'll see. Like, I'm sure you're just kind of blowing through the story chapters now. I kind of want to see where how the game kind of ends up, and then what they do with it from here. But it's been a fun distraction for sure. And I think as long as I have friends playing it, I'm going to keep playing it. So
yeah, it's a good foundation.
Well, this is on your list, Ethan.
Oh my gosh. It's me. So I've been playing Bioshock Infinite. Don't want to go into too much detail on it, but
it's like the hardest game to talk about without ruining it. Like,
and I'm not going to ruin it when I say this. But I've actually hit a point where I've kind of had to step away from it. I jumped in and was playing it too fast. Actually, I was just kind of got in the zone and got going with it. And I realized that I'm not getting out of it what I need to be getting out of it, so I actually took a break. And I've also been playing it on hard mode, and holy cow, I got the absolute shit kicked out of me. Dude, way to go. That game's great. I love just all the little detail. These games, Bioshock makes me mad.
These are rare, man.
It makes me mad because you can do this. This is a game that proves take your fucking time. Just take your time. Add the little details that you think gamers won't notice. We notice it. We notice it.
Well, and don't crank out Bioshock 2, which, to be fair, wasn't them, but...
Like, everybody... I mean, 2K could have really fucked things up if that game had, like, fallen on its face. Like, it hit that point where fans are just going to ignore it, which is fine. Don't give us Bioshock Infinite 2. Like, and I'm really curious to see what Irrational does next, because I don't know if just really dig up interviews with Ken Levine, because he's been making the rounds. But I just don't get the feeling that he wants another 5-year epic. He wants to make a couple other, do something a little bit different, which is fine too. But yeah, I saw one meme going around that was basically the opening shot, the first time you kind of open the door out to Columbia and you see your first kind of, like, the first kind of skyline to it or just everything. And it was just a still shot of that and just said, go ahead and take your time, or, like, like, we understand. Like, take as much time as you need. Because it's...
nothing I've heard that repeatedly.
And nothing else really feels like this. And, like, it's still Bioshock at its core, but these are amazing game experiences, and this is, I need these. These are why I keep playing, is just to have these other milestones like this, and it's incredible. And yeah, I'm just the same way, Ethan. I said earlier, I have struggled to get through the game because I haven't had those big blocks of time, because I don't want to sprint through it. I want to savor it. I want to... you will only play Bioshock Infinite once, and I want to get get the most out of that.
Yeah, but we're gonna have a lot of good conversations, I think, here in the next week. I think we're gonna try to do a spoiler cast on Bioshock Infinite here soon.
We've got a couple of guys that have finished it.
Definitely do that.
Gifford, is it on your? Do you have that yet? What's your story
there? I mean, no brainer. It's on my list. Okay. But this goes back to way at the beginning of the podcast, but I've just been so busy on the weekends that, like, I can sit down and play a little bit of Black Ops or something where I can just pop in and pop out for an hour. But I loved Bioshock, and I even didn't mind Bioshock 2, which is probably the best thing that could have happened with Bioshock 2, was nobody really minded it. I'm gonna buy it. I'm not in a rush to do so. Yeah. It is solely a single player game. I don't get irate if somebody, like, spoils the ending, because I know how much secondary detail they put in. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm gonna find all the collectibles and the graffiti and whatever. Like, I'm gonna have a completely full experience. So
I wish it was.
I'm definitely gonna play
as reasonable as you.
Yeah,
I'm just like, don't talk to me about it. No, I just will not read. I'm like scared. What? I'm scared to go on Reddit. Like, that's kind of how
I've lost. I've done the exact same thing, dude. I have not been on Reddit because that is it's almost like they're and I hate our gamer the way it is. I hate it. It's just full of filth and stupidness. But it's like there's a couple different people that just want to find the best way to indirectly or directly spoil games for you. Yeah. So I've avoided that altogether, because and there's also, though, a lot of websites are analyzing the ending, mm-hmm. which excites me, because I'm like, oh shit, there's more to this than even, you know, I mean, there's a lot already there, and I'm like, oh shit, so I'm gonna have questions in the end. So,
and I don't want to, like, necessarily jump on one of the other topics of the week related to this game, but I am curious as to your reaction, Ethan, because I reacted to it, and then now I'm starting to see other people. As far as the violence level in the game, like, how does that sit with you, or do you notice it? Do you react to it at all?
You know, it's a very violent game, but that violence is such a interesting juxtaposition to the the landscape, because it's an awful, awful, vile landscape. But it's sugar-coated. It looks beautiful. The people look pristine. They're horrible, horrible people. I mean, these are bad people. Maybe not all of them are inherently bad, but there's just an evil underneath, and it's dealing with racism and a lot of different stuff going on there. And the violence, to me, just fits in that world more so than it wouldn't. Like, if you walk through and you just peacefully, you know, went about and kind of, you know, like, negotiated your way through this, like it wouldn't make any sense to me. This isn't like, you know, having these aren't reasonable people in this game. Yeah, I mean, but these people need, like, these people are only going to change their ways
if you kill all of them.
If you kill all of them, or you make an example, and I mean, I, you know,
in violently,
you could say that happens in a lot of games, but, like, the way that they've created Columbia. And again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, whether they were meaning to or not, but there's so many just kind of similarities to kind of some stuff that's going on now.
It's also a direct growth out of what was actually going on at the time.
Well, exactly. Yeah,
like we turned out differently, but this is the Pinkertons and hypernationalism and isolationism. And
the thing about this game, though, that I realize is as I play it, and again, I know they weren't trying to directly pinpoint this stuff. Have we changed that much, though? And have we changed, or have we just glossed stuff over? That is what this game is kind of saying to me. Is that, like, there's a lot of stuff that we're still having issues with, you know?
I mean, this we'll be talking about this game and its message for a long time, and that's the
I don't want to get too deep into it, but holy cow, it makes you think. And video games should make you think. They should make you question the status quo. If the violence is going to do anything, it should. I mean, I know people are going to be like, oh, it's too violent or whatnot, but again, like, if you let that get in your way, then you're missing the point of the game.
I mean, I only kind of bring it up from, like, more of the intrigue or the academic standpoint of I want to understand the rationalization for the level and the type of violence that's in the game. Like, just the first time you execute somebody with the skyhook, it's just like, I was like, oh. And you know, I like violence in my games, and but the fact that it surprised me is why it sticks out. And then just the other side of, like, I do want to show off the artistic integrity of this game to non-gamers, to people that don't want to see that. And it was kind of like I've second-guessed that. I was like, I can't really walk some people through this game because of this. And I don't think that's, you know, I'm all for the violence, but I want to know the story behind it, because it stands out much more this round than killing a bunch of, you know, the splicers, which were, you know, just barely human, drugged up people, versus, like, the first people that kind of come after you in Bioshock Infinite are basically the cops, you know? And, but you're right. It's all I think it's got to be kind of in that juxtaposition of how, like, the perfection of these in the versus the reality of the setting. And, I definitely think they were trying to say something with the violence, but I just really want to know, the story behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, so I definitely can't freaking wait to play this.
Yeah. Get on it.
You'll I think you'll really appreciate it. I mean, outside the violence, I mean, it's
you'll appreciate the violence too, because it's
you will appreciate the violence. Holy cow! We're gonna wait. We'll end it there. Tentacle suit on that. So last week I did a Cheap and Dirty Gamer on Oregon Trail Director's Cut. I've been excited to play this game for a while, because I believe it came out on iOS.
It came out on something else, but it got greenlit, right? That was kind
of... It got greenlit, and it popped up on Steam, and I was a fan of Oregon Trail, a fan of Odell Lake as well, but I haven't seen a remake of that. But Oregon Trail...
Oh, my God!
You remember Odell Lake?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My brain just exploded a little bit.
But essentially, Oregon Trail Director's Cut is just Oregon Trail, but with zombies, and you're going across the country to try to escape. Still moving west, but you know, for different reasons. And there's a little bit more to it than Oregon Trail. It's a lot more detailed. But the thing that I want to talk about is a Horrible Night crew who I placed into this situation. Awful. They did awful, awful. I had to toss it up, because we have more writers and staff than we have
slots.
I have room in my station wagon.
They lived.
So I did a toss up. So actually, Gifford, you didn't make the toss up, which I think probably good. We made it, but it was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he has the most positive impression of you after this, because you weren't.
And I was like pissed at these dudes. I was pissed at these guys, because we'd be going and freaking, like, Justin, who, you know, he's a mature guy. I mean, Justin Lacey, he runs a show. He's a mature guy. He thinks about things. Dude, this dude's farting the whole time on this trip. You know, that's literally what's popping up. He's goofing around with bullets. Literally, it says Justin dicked around with your bullets. He lost 15 bullets. He kept losing change into the couch. I was like, you got to be freaking kidding me. And there's an option to kill your you know,
really?
Your people. I didn't take that option. I could have taken that option. I mean, I got these dudes.
Maybe you were the problem then.
Safely. And they didn't appreciate it. They didn't appreciate it at all.
You know the gravity of our situation.
You guys didn't get it. It was like we were going to freaking a freaking game convention.
I thought it was...
That was the attitude everybody in that freaking station wagon had, is, oh, this is so fun, zombies.
I thought it was just a road trip movie.
That's what it felt like the whole freaking time. You know, Cole, his blimps kept breaking, catching bullets. Josh got dysentery at least three or four times.
So it's like real life.
I mean, he was a trooper. He came back from it. McNeil told a couple jokes, which actually helped. It actually lightened the mood in the station wagon. So thank you. Thank you, Aaron, for that. You actually contributed a lot more than these
just jokes.
That was a good don't watch the stream. The volume's all fucked up.
We tried to save it.
Blow your ears out. I don't know. We were discovering now that with streaming, every single game has a completely different kind of volume level, and just test beforehand. But I had a fun time with it. That was a good 2-hour kill fest. Real sad moment though is I actually had just recovered from the death of Piers, and from the week before, actually by just recovered. I'm still not
surprised you didn't put him in the game. You probably didn't want him to die again.
I was going to say, I didn't want to take that risk. But in the very beginning of the game, the tutorial, you're actually you're there, you're fighting zombies off, you run out of ammo, and then this dude runs out named Clemens, and he helps you, he saves you, he takes you, you know, he takes you in, he takes you to Washington, D.C. to find your friends, these goofballs, and as soon as we get there, as we're driving, it's like Clemens gets dysentery, Clemens breaks his arm, he gets bitten by a zombie. And I have to shoot the guy in the very beginning of the game. Like, in the very beginning of the game, I have to kill the most useful person. And I filled my station wagon with these assholes for the whole trip. So, you know, it was good. I'm glad we all made it, but it was real sad. Real sad. But I love the little mini games they added into that game. I mean, it was cool, man. I mean, it was a lot more than I expected out of it. And I love those one-off type games. It's great.
So how many times did it take you to get through? Or
I died. Actually, the very first time I went through, I didn't realize you could actually, every time you stop, you can actually go out and search for supplies. I didn't realize that. So I actually, my character died the very first time I played. Unless I played for maybe 20 minutes. And then I played again. So my second try, I got through. But I played on medium because I didn't want to take my chances.
I'm not sure I ever got to
thinking about you guys.
I don't think I ever got to Oregon in Oregon Trail. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was quite the journey.
Yeah, the river part's always hard.
Well, in this one, actually, you go through big streams of zombies as opposed to rivers, and you can choose to shoot your way through or sneak through. And I usually shot my way through, and it usually worked out. But it's kind of cool because you got your little 8-bit station wagon moving through there, and all the characters are sitting shooting guns out. But that's the only time they shoot guns until the very end.
In the car, like me.
Yeah, or accidentally, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was like things like would happen in the station wagon, like things would catch fire, you know, spontaneously and that kind of stuff. So it was just, I don't know. I mean, you got to expect that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I thought maybe I expected a lot more from you guys.
Verdean in chat was saying the ending's pretty amazing. Was it just because of our story or just in general that the ending's pretty well done?
I'm glad you made it. I'm glad we made it. That was nice. That story aspect of it was nice. But actually, when you get to the end, you have to, like, you get to the last bunker and you're like, oh, we made it. And they're like, oh, shit, dude. We need you to do this mission. And at the very end of the game, everybody in the station wagon decides to start helping. And so while you're picking up these gas canisters, I mean, it's such a throwback to, like, the Left 4 Dead 2 gas canister missions. Or maybe a throw forward, I guess. I don't know. It was 8-bit games. I'm not sure what sort of a spectrum they're on. But
I need you to timeline all of them.
Your guys are shooting at these zombies, and you're collecting these gas canisters. It was really actually really tense. Music was great too. Like there was not a whole lot of different tracks, but the ones that they had were pretty emotional. Really got you going. Really made you want to get to the end. You know. So we could have just made it a big comedy and just kill everybody off, but no, I wanted to make sure you guys made it.
That was nice of you for putting up with our dumbasses.
Yeah, I got a big heart, you know. Well, what can I say? You put up with my dumbass in real life, so I might as well save you in digital worlds.
So I don't always have any clue what is going to get posted on the site, so and I
neither do we.
Well, that's fair, but like. I don't even read a story. I click and then I go start editing.
Uh huh.
And I lost my shit when I started reading. I was like, what game is he play? What is going on here? So this is one of the rare articles where I had to stop editing, go back, and read the entire thing so I can actually pay attention to editing instead of being like, this game sounds amazing, and I'm laughing out loud, and there's nobody around me.
That's always a good. That's always a good sign when you make your copy editor stop in the middle of reading your article to go find out more information about the game that you're talking about, or go play it instead of finishing his job.
It's always my goal. Always my.
I almost got you to do a spit take. That was close. If that joke had landed a little bit harder, it might have happened.
And it's a work laptop too.
All right. Well, I think that's gonna wrap us up for tonight, but Justin, you got some HorribleNight.com updates.
Yeah, just real quick. Ethan and I are working hard. I just splashed water all over my face. That was classy. Ethan and I are working on coming up with a streaming schedule and with Twitch kind of updating its whole layout, actually providing useful information on our Twitch channel, so look for that in the next couple weeks. So you can get a better idea of when we're playing games, when we're doing horrible game nights, what our streaming schedule is. Just trying to get a better way for you to get that get that information, so you know what to expect when you come to our Twitch channel, or know what's upcoming at least. So as far as how you can help out, just let us know as far as any of our previous streams, kind of what type of content you've enjoyed the most. Would you rather you know, our kind of co-op sessions with Josh and Ethan and those types of live streams? Or do you want the community nights where you guys are jumping in the games? Or do you want kind of our solo commentary playing retro games? We've got some ideas, but definitely want some feedback. So hit us up in chat if you're hanging out now, or hit us up on our contact form on the site. Just let us know, because we want to play the games you want to see. And want to have as much fun when we are live streaming, because we enjoy doing it and enjoy hanging out with our live audience. So, and also looking to plan our next horrible game night. I want to have at least one of those a month, if not more. So those will probably be coming, a Friday or a Saturday night, picking a game that the community can jump in and play. Last one we had was PlanetSide 2. That went really well, and we should have more in the future. So more streaming info is kind of what we're working on here this month. That's it.
And back to you, Ethan.
All right. Well,
where'd you go? Yeah.
What happens at the end?
No, I blew his mind.
Yeah, I was like, ah.
You've done really good hosting. Yeah. You didn't even know how to end the show.
No, I don't remember how Josh does it.
Where's Josh?
He usually goes, hey, it's the end now. Isn't he? Is that his
something
line?
Like, I think that's his catchphrase.
No, we're going to go to, are we going to do a little bit of...
we'll hang out a little bit, yeah.
A little bit of hanging out. We might hang out for a little bit, answer questions, talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love on you guys out in TV land. Internet land, it's the internet. So, thanks for coming, though. Thanks for coming out, my guys. We love you all. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ethan. Thanks for dressing up. Super Gaming Best Friends! Super Gaming Best Friends! Monkey throwing barrels! Thoughts and ducks with dogs and scenarios, and we'll play with you! Super.